So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. Hallelujah. If you show up Wednesday night, the 4th of July, Brother Brian Dowling will be speaking. And if he's not here, it's his fault, not mine. Amen. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to hit the same chapter, but I want to just hit a few verses. I don't want to spend all day just reading it, so I'm just going to read you certain portions. Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and the Bible says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them." Now I want you to understand that they're sending out leaders that are among these people to go out, not just Joe Schmo, but a leader, people who seem to be a leader in that tribe. Verse 3, "So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel." And then in verse 25, "And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." And Anak was a giant people. Now, I want to just go on record and tell you that anything that God tells you that you can have doesn't mean that you just get to stop by the drive-thru. There might have to be some battles that go on in order for you to receive what God says you could have. Amen? And then in verse number 30, the Bible says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" See, here's what he was saying. There's no matter what stands in my way, if God said it's mine, there's nothing that can stand before me. I can have it according to his word. He said, "Let's go out and possess it, for we will be able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight." I want you to underline that. I'm not going to preach on it, but you can just meditate it. "We are in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." When you become something in your own sight, it's easy for other people to see you in that light. So if you're a loser in your own light, then other people are going to see you as a loser. My God, somebody hear me. Then in chapter 14, verses 1, "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night." Wait a minute. They wept that night. I thought they just saw the promise that God had promised them, ate the fruit of it, and it was all good, but there was going to have to be some battle, and they all cried all night. That doesn't make sense, does it? "And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. Or if only we had died in this wilderness. Wow. It sounds like the American church. It sounds like the American people. Oh man, it is great. Oh, it looks incredible. Oh. But what do I got to do to get it? You might have to fight. You might have to fight. I've told this story many times, but it goes good with this. So there, true story, of course, my a man that used to be in this church, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, and no, I did not kill him. I wanted to at this time. He said, when he was 27 years old, he said, he wouldn't work, and his wife was struggling, and they were struggling, and I went to him and said, what seems to be the problem? He said, I'm just tired of working. And he's 27 with three kids. I said, bro, do you have any life insurance? Because I'm fixing to slap the snot out of you if you don't get your lazy behind up and go to work. Because when you're 27, you got a few years left to work. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, I know folks 75, 80 years old still working. Come on, somebody. Amen. God bless you. So God told Moses to send spies, and God wanted Israel to know that the land that he promised was for real, and that it was a land with rich resources and rich provision. And the question that you've got to ask yourself is, what has God showed you that you have yet to receive, but you know it's for real? Now, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, you could take it all kind of ways. Maybe you just need peace in your mind. See, you'll never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be. You have not seen. You think that everybody's house is a Jerry Springer house. You think that everybody's neighborhood is live PD. But it is not. And you've got to decide if I'm going to live my life this way, or am I going to go on the other side and declare that that might be my neighbor, that might be my grandmama and my crazy aunt and uncle, but that is not going to be my house. I see something that I would rather be. It doesn't matter how you were raised. You might have been broke, busted, and disgusted. But the Word of God gives you a clear vision of what your life could be, should be, and can be if you adhere to the Bible. Here's the deal, guys. You cannot come to church on Sunday but leave Jesus out of the rest of your week and expect change to happen in your life. Yes, you need to be in church on Sunday, but you better have the same Jesus that was in church Sunday in your house, on you, at your work, wherever you go on Monday through Saturday, if you want real life change to happen and not just be a picturesque of what else somebody else is doing. See, God wants you to know about the blessings of, and his promises are real. It's not blind faith. God has proven himself through the ages. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says, now these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom ends of the world have come. There were many promises that God has accomplished and is accomplishing. Numbers 23 and 19, one of my favorite passages. God is not a man that he should not that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? See, our problem is that we focus on the challenges instead of the champion of our faith. So I want to talk to you today for a little while about naysayers and giant slayers. Which one are you? Are you a giant slayer or a naysayer? Well, too often, point number one, if you're taking notes, point number one is, too often we are defeated before we have ever engaged the enemy. How many of you have looked at the enemy and decided, oh, I can't do that? How many of you have looked at the enemy and declared, I cannot defeat them? I cannot accomplish that. How many of you looked at it and says, no, that's not for me. I can't do that. It is sad to say that we cannot see what God wants to do because we focus on what he hasn't done. Well, but you know, you look at me. Yeah, look at you. Find something to praise God about. Look at you in your life. You're able to get up this morning. You're able to come to the house of God this morning. Either you drove or got a ride or somebody brought you here. And probably, I don't want to lie, 6/8 of you look great. Bump your neighbor and say, he's talking about me. I'm part of that 6/8. Now, come on now. We have to remember that the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, going to and fro. But I've got some news for you. No man has ever been killed by a roar. Now, there has been some men who have soiled themselves over a roar, but they have never been killed over a roar. And the Bible says that the devil is like a lion seeking whom he may devour, roaring like a lion, but he's not a lion. And some of you have allowed the enemy to intimidate you to the point that you won't believe for what God says you could believe for. 12 spies were sent. 10 spies came back with spineless, not willing to walk it out by faith. Now, these are the naysayers, and they had their day. Why? Because their negative report moved the masses to fears and tears. Man, they gave their report and they went to crying and wailing instead of, wait a minute. God said, this is your land. But the naysayer says, we can't have that land. Woo. I remember when we were looking to build a church and we went and looked at this building that I'm so thankful that God, that we didn't buy. Jane, you remember that. We went and looked at this building, but that night we were all excited about this and we were looking at it. And one lady said, well, Pastor, what if we don't grow? And you know me, how mild-mannered I am. And I looked at her and said, I rebuke you openly. I said, if that's going to be our case, then why don't we just sit over here and, you know, and our four and no more, and our family saved, and to hell with everybody else. Don't be offended. That's what we're saying. Amen. We wasn't looking for a building for us to seat because we already had a seat. Come on, somebody. See, that was about 150, but now we're around 700. So, you know, and many of them have gotten saved. Many of you have gotten saved because of what God is doing. So you got to recognize it, church. Their negative report moved the masses to fears and tears. The people, it moved them to rebel against God-ordained leadership. How many of you know that anytime God gives a promise, Satan will try to keep us from receiving that promise? He don't want you to have that promise. Why? Because every promise you put under your belt is a little bit further than where you used to be. And God keeps proving himself to you. There comes a point, and I believe I'm there, and I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. But what can the devil do to you? Because nothing shall turn me back from what God has said. Nothing shall change my mind. Well, but Pastor, what are you going to do if you pray for somebody who heals and they die? Then I go next. Because I am not the healer. I am just the one that prays for the healer to come and the healer to come and heal. I'm not him. You've got to recognize that you're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. But Jesus is still Jesus. He's still on the throne. How many of you know that Satan's going to try to keep you from it? He will try to fill your heart with fear and your mouth with doubt. Doubt is rebellion against God. Do you know how Satan tries to discourage the church? I'll tell you. He raises up a few naysayers and they begin to preach doubt, the sermon of doubt and discouragement. You ever get around anybody, you know, or let me ask you this question. Don't answer. See, I don't do that trick question. Don't answer. Are you one of those people who always finds holes in the plan? Now, that can be a good thing. That can be a good thing. But if you're always blowing holes in everybody else's plan, it might not be a good thing. You may be a naysayer. So the question that you got to ask yourself is, which side am I falling on? Because they'll give you 1,000 reasons why it can't be done, even if God said that He would be our helper. Well, that's just too much work. Man, I'm telling you, Christians sometimes can be some of the laziest people on the planet. And I'll go one step further. Pentecostals are even worse. Why? Because we speak in tongues. So we think tongues gets us everything. You can speak in tongues all you want to and reach for the remote on the TV, but it ain't going to come to you unless somebody gets up and goes gets it. Come on, somebody. You can pray in tongues. You've got to get up and do something with what God says you can do. Amen. All right. The negativism of the naysayer is contagious. You ever get around people and before you know it, boy, you're belly aching and complaining too. You get around them, they'll start talking about negative stuff, and the next thing you know, you're right there with you. They'll start telling you about your ailments. You went there to pray for them, but by the next thing you know, you're in the bed next to them because you're sick too. Come on, somebody. They say things like, I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. And a foundation leaks and a ball game gets rained out and a car rusts. Always take time to stop and smell the roses, because sooner or later you're going to inhale a bee. They tell you stuff like, into every life some rain must fall. Usually with the car windows down. Or on the motorcycle, come on. Negativism, man. Point number two is this. Let's look first at the characteristics of naysayers. What are some of the characteristics? Let me give you a couple of them. To begin with, naysayers doubt. That's what they do. These 12 men went away. All of them seen the same thing. I would have loved to have seen the facial expression of Joshua and Caleb as the one guy was given the report. As they were going, man, look, this is the fruit we brought back. Caleb and Joshua, yeah. All right, yeah, that's it, baby. Yeah, look at this. And man, I'm telling you, the land flows with milk and honey. It's an abundance. Yeah, all right, yeah. But I'm going to tell you, the people there were strong. Well, yeah, they are, but and we are as grasshoppers in our own sight. Hold up, speak for yourself. Now, I ain't say that. You ever been part of a group and you wasn't a spokesman? Amen. Wait, speak for yourself. Wait, hold up. No. You, that's what you say. They were big, but shoot, man. You see me last week? I took down that joker. Man, I could take this joke. I can take him down. Come on, Caleb. You 45, 50 years old. I don't care how old I am. Well, y'all better not mess with an old man. Because old man ain't scared about going to jail. Old man ain't going to fight you. Old man just shoot you. You better behave. Now, listen. Twice. Coming from an old dude. I'm telling you. He ain't that old, but all I'm going to say is he was there when Jesus led the 5,000, when he fed the 5,000. But anyway, naysayers will often say that they believe that God can do what he promised, but they doubt that he will. Naysayers often complain and try to worship at the same time. But they doubt that he will heal their life. They doubt that he will come through in their life. And they doubt that he will provide. They doubt that he will take care of his own. Those are naysayers. All 12 men testified that Canaan was everything that God promised. They went into the land and you sent us. Yes, I have, man. But we even brought back their proof. But yet, there's this problem. There's this obstacle. The 10 naysayers continued on. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Even after Caleb had quieted the people. Even after he had told them and he tried to encourage the people that, and to go in and possess the land. But the naysayers continued their drumbeat of defeat. No, no, we cannot defeat these people. Did you see that one guy? You know how big that joker was? Look at the army. They said, we are not able to go up against these people. They are stronger than we. The land through which we look, the land devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw were men of great stature. There were, we saw giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. They looked at us and said that we are no trouble. Maybe, you see, here's the deal. They didn't have David and Goliath to look back on. But wait a minute. They didn't have David and Goliath to look back on, but before this, didn't God bring them through the Red Sea? Didn't God part the Red Sea and told them, look at your enemies, because the enemy you see today, you will see no more, and wiped them out? Wasn't this the same people that saw God do miracle after miracle after miracle, but now it comes time to fight? Amen. My God, somebody hear me. Man, I know a lot of people like this. As long as things are going great, oh, praise God. Look at me, I'm a great person of faith. Hallelujah, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And then when it comes time for you to fight, as long as God's doing all the fighting, you're good. But what happens when it becomes time for you to fight? That's when you start going, well, we're unable to do that. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Furthermore, we listen to the naysayers. We are likely to become infected with doubt. That doesn't mean faith is blind. The two faithful men saw the giants, but they saw God who stood above the giants, and they knew that God was on their side. Now, I want you to catch this. I want you to catch this because, you know, because I do know some people who deal and walk in blind faith, and that's not what God called us to walk in. You know, when Peter stepped out of the boat, he didn't step out on blind faith. He stepped out on the word of Jesus that said, come. He waited for Jesus to bid him to come. And then he stepped out. Now, here's my next slide. Faith is not a denial of reality, but the realization that there is a higher law than the natural laws. See, we don't go, oh, that, you know, some people go, no, I'm sick, but I'm not sick. I'm not really sick. I'm not sick. And then they die, and on their tombstone, I told y'all I was not sick. No, it is not a denial of reality, but it is a realization that, yes, this is truth, but God's law is higher than the natural law. That, yes, this might be going on in my life, but I know who God is. I know that my Redeemer lives, and as long as He lives, I shall live. As long as He lives, I know that there's hope, and I'm not going to let down the standard. See, there's a spiritual law, a law that can suspend the laws of nature and cause miracles to happen. I want to say it again. There's a supernatural law that suspends natural law and that says this will never happen, but it does time and time again. Why? Because that's where the miraculous comes into. The naysayers could not get their eyes any higher than the problem. And so they began to doubt and pout. And people had become infected with this doubt and pout. And they began to fall into depression and despair. They began to pout and question God. And doubting leads to pouting, not shouting. Doubt rips the praise from your lips and leaves you with a bitter taste of fear and discouragement in your mouth. In their pouting, they begin to say foolish things. You ever get discouraged and say foolish things? Oh, we would have been better off in Egypt. I've had people say, well, we'd have been better off not even serving God. Really? We'd be better off if we'd have never started going to church. Really? We should have died in the wilderness. Maybe you should have. See, if I'd have been Moses, I said, Lord, why didn't you let me kill him in the wilderness? They had lost their song. They had sung. They lost their song that they sung when they crossed over the Jordan or over the Red Sea, through the Red Sea. And some of you have lost your song. God was going, I remember a man, and he's gone on to be with the Lord now too. But I remember him saying, oh, Pastor, I don't understand why people get so upset. It seemed like anything I ask the Lord for, he just does it. And I put my arm around him. I said, all right, you just remember this. Because if you serve God long enough, there's going to be a battle that comes. And guess what? The battle came and God didn't come through like he thought he ought to come through. And he got out of church and his family got out of church. And I'm just saying, all of his children are strung out on drugs and he died. And I'm not his judge, but unless he got things right with God, he busted hell right wide open. Boy, that's judgmental. Oh, I'm just judging the fruit. I said, I'm not his judge. I hope and pray he made it. But I'm just saying that you better remember the song you sang when everything was going your way. Remember the song. Because remember this, that God is too good to abandon you forever. Come on, somebody. God is too good. He will show you good in the land of the living. You just got to keep your mind right. Keep your focus right. Don't become a naysayer, but declare, I'm a giant slayer. And the giants that are in my life, they may be here today, but I'm not going to go to my grave until I kill a few of them myself. Hallelujah. See, they turned on the leadership and would have stoned them. Who dared to believe he could have done this? And look at this. Those who pout and doubt will do without. Those who doubt and pout will do without. See, the problem is we think God is a parent like we are. If our kids pout, we give them what they want. I don't like you no more. Oh, I can't take that. My ego can't take that. I need you to like me. I will bust your behind. Whether you like me or not, there'll come a day you'll like me. Listen, I'm okay if you don't like me right now, if it makes you act right. Come on, are you with me? See, the whole generation who refused to pass over the promised land, they died in the wilderness. Are you willing to die in your wilderness? People without faith are doomed to go through the motions without joy. People who will not believe dwell in the wilderness and question, and a quagmire of anxiety always surrounds them. Naysayers never get to taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I tell you that as long as you're on the plains and everything is good, you know that God is good. But baby, when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and you will fear no evil and you come out the other side and he prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies, you used to know that he was good. But now I know that he's great and greatly to be praised. Naysayers never get anywhere in their Christian walk. Their motto is, do not walk behind me, for I may not lead. Do not walk ahead of me, for I may not follow. Do not walk beside me either. Just leave me alone. See, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves following in the footsteps of the naysayers. If we listen too long as they tell us why it cannot be done, then before we know it, our hearts has been filled with fear. Our praise is silenced. Our joy is left bleeding in the desert of despair. Beware of the naysayer. Naysayers doubt, pout, and do without. Number three, in the contrast to the naysayers, let's talk about the giant slayer. Two men. Sounds like a documentary, don't it? Two men. Refused to go along with the popular opinion, stood their ground, and saw the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Two men. Some of them say 6 million people died in the wilderness. Only two. You're one in 3 million. Two people made it through the wilderness and got to see the promised land. And the only, everybody else, read your Bible, everybody else died. Why? Doubt, unbelief. They chose to believe the report of the enemy, of the 10 spies, and nobody believed the two. Man, you think you're a minority. Try being two in 6 million. Can you imagine? I did the math one day, and I may do it before the next service, but can you imagine? The Bible said they were in the wilderness for 38 years. So do you know how many funerals they had to go to in 38 years? For six million people to die. I forget, it's like several an hour. Man, I mean, and if I'd have been Caleb and Joshua, I'd be like, yep, another one bested us. Whew, all right, one more down. God, dead. Dead. Boy, they wasn't nothing but a naysayer anyway. Look at them. Look at them. Even got a frown on their face when they're in the just look. Only two made it. Had the courage to believe that if God brought them to the promise, God would take them into the promise. My God. Do you think God is cruel to let you see the promise but not possess the promise? They were prepared to take on giants in the name of the Lord. What are you prepared to take on to get what God says you could have? First of all, giant slayers believe. They believe what God says. In the face of overwhelming odds, Caleb and Joshua believed. When the 10 other men declaring that it could not be done, they placed their confidence in the Lord and said, let's go. Amen. We can make it happen. The writer of Hebrews tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him. For they that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We cannot be a naysayer and please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The giant slayer takes God at his word. Not only do we believe, but we take God at his word. Does not rush in where angels fail or fear to trod. But the man or woman of God believes in the promises of God. Stands on the word of God, reads the word of God, lives by the word of God, speaks the word of God, and believes the word of God. The problem with some of us, we don't know what the word of God says. So therefore, you cannot stand on what you do not know. We are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And we don't know what the Bible says, so therefore we're taking what mama said and what granny said and what our crazy uncle said and what we heard this preacher say and what that preacher. Read it for yourself. When I go up against the devil, I don't go, well, you know, old Josh, I heard him say one time. No, I don't go, well, you know, one time I heard Rodney say, no, I say in the name of Jesus, here's what the word of the living God says, and I'm not defeated. I'm not going to back down or back up. I will not bow. I will not burn. I'm not going to bend. I'm going to see the salvation of God because I know what God's word. You can try to twist it and say whatever you want to, but I know, devil, what the Lord says, and I will see the salvation of the Lord. The man and woman of faith believes in the promises. He declares the word of God in the face of doubt and discouragement. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Every promise in the book, every lot, every line, it is mine. See, he has the promise in hands, the praise on his lips, the victory stamped on his heart. The giant slayer believes and the giant slayer achieves. Only two names among the 12 are remembered. Only two names. Have you ever heard anybody name their child Shaphat? Come here, Shaphat. All right, how about, come here, Amiel. How about Igal? Come here, Igal. Lord, who would name their children that? I don't know, they're in the same list as Caleb and Joshua. How about Gaddy? Come here, Gaddy. I didn't say Gaddy, Gaddy. Come here, Gaddy. How about Nabi? Come here, Nabi. No. But you look around this room, you probably got some Joshuas. You probably got some Calebs. Why? Because nobody wants to name their children losers. Nobody want to name their children. You know, I've only in one time in my life have I seen a woman name their child Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. Apparently, she didn't read the Bible either. She was just scanning it for names. It's like the one lady who named her child Verley. Who in the world is named Verley? Yeah, it says right there, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Verley, she couldn't read good. Joshua and Caleb lived through the wilderness, came back to possess the land and possess it. These two men crossed over, achieved greatness, saw the walls of Jericho fall, drove out the enemy before them, walked with God, and because they did, they achieved what others did not achieve. Listen to me. The coward dies 1,000 deaths. But the man that dares to believe is not easily turned back. Hallelujah. The giant slayer achieves greatness because his trust is in the Lord. David, of course, you can't talk about a giant slayer without talking about David. David was a famous giant slayer, achieved greatness because of his confidence was in the Lord. His own brothers were naysayers. How many people are named David? How about his brother's three names? Elimelech, Eliab. Giant slayers believe they can achieve, and then they receive. Joshua and Caleb received their portion and their promise. Man, listen. All right. Joshua was promoted to the leader of Israel. What about Caleb? Caleb shows up again when Joshua is divvying out the land. And Caleb shows up and goes, hey, remember Moses promised me that mountain. He goes, man, let me give you something else. He said, there are some strongholds on that mountain. And I love what he said. He said, I am well able. Now, what some of you didn't know, he was 85. And he said, I am well able to take this mountain. What he was saying was, don't let this frail frame think you I can't do what I used to could do. Because as long as God is with me, I can do it all. I can do all things. They received blessings from God and honor among men. So then my only question is this. Do I believe? Do you believe? Because if I believe, then it's mine. If I believe, all things are possible. I can achieve. I can receive all that God has in store for me if I believe. Does that mean I believe I'll be rich? Not if that's not in God's plan for your life. How could it not be God's plan for my life? Because you a greedy old joker, that's why. But I know that if I walk in His will, He will not forsake me. He'll never leave me begging for bread. If I abide in Him and His word abides in me, then I can ask what I will and I will receive it. Well, this is true because His word truly abides in me, then I will not ask for anything which is contrary to God's will. I will not ask amiss. I may consume it upon my own lust. Everything I ask for and everything that He supplies will be given that I may accomplish the ministry He has given to me. Maybe God's been calling you to kill some giants in your life. Giants of depression. Giants of lust. Giants of fear. Giants of debt. Giants of disease, giants of sin, giants that are standing between you and your promise. Today needs to be that day. Come on, stand to your feet. Today needs to be that day. Spirit Life Team, come. Today needs to be the day that you stop running from the roar. Today needs to be the day that you stop running from the devil roaring. Today needs to be the day that you resist the devil and send him fleeing from you. Today you need to stand where David stood in faith and watch giants fall. Faith does not operate in the realm of possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends. Faith in God does not just believe he exists, but doing what he says because you believe that he will keep his promises. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I give you my word. I won't embarrass you, but if you don't know Jesus, I want to invite you to ask him into your heart. Because you cannot receive the promise of God without knowing him.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.